So if God lives within, and the lower carnal nature are your lower chakras, where most of your carnal desires are located, i.e., you know, your genitals and that kind of stuff, if you're into the chakra system. There are other names for it, depending on which belief system you're in. The snake coiled at the base of the mountain is an allegory for the oil that's come down from the brain and residing in the solar plexus, and under the right circumstances, the oil will rise up your vertebrae and cause a spiritual awakening experience to occur. It's the holy oil, it's the oil of anointing. It has a few different names depending on where you are, but the Kundalini is probably one of the most common names you might recognize for the experience I'm talking about. So here we have the divine combined with the carnal nature, and the divine can't stand the carnal nature. There's an allegory about, who's that guy? I can't remember who slays Medusa. I'm getting some coffee, so don't worry about it. Just coffee noises. Nobody's going to the bathroom. I did a podcast the other day. I'm pouring my coffee, and I'm listening to it thinking, they're going to think I'm taking a tinkle. So I wanted to tell you now. It's just a cup of coffee. Anyways, so here we are. We got the divine in our temple. We got the flesh in our gut. And we're torn between the two. Each of them is calling us in a particular direction. Now, in one belief system, they call it God and the devil. And in another belief systems, they call it other stuff. Okay? But the book wants you to think that this is a battle that happens out there. You know, it's some dude in a red yoga outfit, and he's got a tail and some horns and a trident like Poseidon, which are two of the same character in different regions of the world, but that's another podcast. And they want you to think that it's something that happens out there, that it's outside of you. But the thing I'm telling you is, it's what happens inside of you. And that's why it's relevant to you. Because, it's, you know, you've seen the little icons of the devil on one side and an angel on the other side of the shoulder. It's not quite like that. It's more like the angel is on top of your head and the devil's down there by your genitals. But it's all you. It's all us. It's the divine combined with the carnal nature. Now, here's the problem. Where God lives, they don't live like that. They don't. You know what I mean? They live under the virtues, not the vices, right? So you're torn between the vices and the virtues. You could even put it that way. See how dualistic that is? There's no unity there. It's a setup for complete opposition in perpetuity. And that's where they get you. Because as long as you take a side, it doesn't matter. You're hooked in the game. Whenever you take a side, you're saying, well, this side of the equation is unacceptable, and therefore we want to skew it over to that side, and now we have no balance because we're saying that that's what we want, and we always want it to be that way. And that's why we always fail in the eyes of God, because He wants us to skew away from our own carnal nature to the point that we're all the way over there with Him. That's why it says, you know, follow me, the way to the path is narrow, few are going to make it, and He's right. Because they stuck it in language that nobody understands. And then they did it when nobody but camel jockeys were out. Nobody even knew how to write. They had to talk to people. And they were dumber than rocks at that time in life. They had to relate things to stories to people who didn't know very much. They didn't have access to tablets, computers. They didn't even have Encyclopedia Britannica, for crying out loud. So nowadays we do. We can look at this stuff and we can pick it apart and we can get lost in the minutia of information and come to, I don't know how many conclusions, you know, whether these guys are really the actors or players in the Sumerian clay tablets. There's some pretty good correlations to suggest that they are. So how do you combine the physicalities with the spiritualities? The things that they say occur outside, including the stories, are all stories about what happens to you in your life inside you. You're the character that they're talking about in that book. This is all stuff that happens inside you. You're fighting the carnal nature. The example of God kicking them out of the garden and all that stuff is an example of what happens to us when we decide we're going to refuse to accept the unacceptable and kick it out of our lives. That's what we're doing. And he's insatiably curious about that, so he challenges us to see if we really mean it, if we're going to get it, if we're going to do it consistently. Is this a habit, or are we just talking today and tomorrow? And that's a different series. You can check up on it in a different cast. Okay, so the divine nature wants what it wants. It wants perfection. It wants everything to be perfect. It wants everything to go right. It wants everything to fall into place in a perfect way, in whatever way it perceives is perfect. Okay, that's what it wants. And the carnal nature wants what it wants. It just wants to do what it wants when it feels like doing it, and that's the end of it. It doesn't want to attach any value or any significance to what it wants. It just wants what it wants. And in psychiatry, they'd call that the id, if you were listening to Freud. And if you were listening to Freud about the carnal, about the divine nature, you'd call it the superego. And you're stuck in the middle. You're the ego. And the superego makes up all the rules. And it's got a whole book. It loves to make rules. It's like the state legislature, or even worse, because it's always coming up with new rules for you to follow to make your life perfect. You're constantly striving for perfection. Why do you think you do that? That's the divine in you seeking to make everything around it fall into place in order. You are struggling against a puzzle on a vibrating table that refuses to stay together, and you're still trying to put the puzzle together. If that's not a good analogy, I'll figure out another one in a minute. But the divine nature struggles to put the pieces together. And it wants that all the time, because that's what the rules are supposed to do. That's what they're supposed to produce. They're supposed to produce perfection. And if that's not good enough, then we must need another rule. And I'm pretty sure that's how we wound up with 632 rules in the Old Testament. Because every time you make a rule, it runs into a situation where now you have to make another rule. So in that regard, a rule is like a lie, because a rule never stops. Once it becomes a rule, it interferes with other things. And so in order for that interference to be accounted for, more rules have to be put in place. And when you approach life in that way, you'll wind up with rules for everything in your life. Everything. You may not have written them down. You may not know where they are all the time. If I asked you what they all are right now, you'd probably stare at me and your mouth would drop open, your eyes would glaze over, and you'd think, I can't think of any. But the truth is that every time we come across a situation that doesn't work, we make up a new rule to try and make it work now. So when we started out, we didn't have any rules. We were just kids. By the time we're grandpas, we're telling couples making out on the park bench in the park to go get a room. Because by that age, we've got so many rules in our head that we have an extremely ordered life. And it doesn't bother us if we piss everybody off driving like it's Sunday on Monday morning. That's the rules. Do you see? That's what's happened to people who just continue to make up rules to run their life. And then you've got the carnal nature. Doesn't care a whit about rules. Oh, but the divine. Oh, you broke a rule. You see? Carnal nature? What are you talking about? Fuck, what's the rule? What are you within things? Fuck, good are those? So the divine tries to convince the carnal, well, look. What about people who murder people? Shouldn't there be a rule about that? Carnal says, oh, yeah, okay, I guess so. Bam! The door is open. Now the divine hammers the carnal. Well, what about a rule for this? What about a rule for that? What about a rule for this? What about a rule for that? And this and that and this. and every fucking thing else you can imagine, think of, and ever come across. Now you're a rule freak. And what do? You impose your rules around your inner circle.
Well, I'm not going to tolerate anybody cursing in my house, and I'm not going to tolerate anybody defecating on my sidewalk.
Of course, I made that up. I thought it was pretty funny, but, you know, we'll save the laugh for later. Come on, loosen up. No, seriously. That's what we're doing. You got the rules, and you got the guy with no rules. And that's why Mr. No Rule, the divine, puts down. That's what he does. He puts it down. Oh, look at that guy. He lives by no rules. The divine just strives for perfection. That's all it wants. It will do anything to try and get it. It'll put you down. It'll call you names. It'll disappoint you. It'll make you think shame, guilt, bad stuff. You name it. Because you broke the rules. Funny thing, those rules. We should be careful with how many rules we make. Don't you think?